Turning your Bibles, if you would, tonight to Luke chapter 20. Now, if you say, Pastor, this morning we were in Luke 19 and we left off at verse 27 and you're skipping verses 28 through 48. No, I'm not. Those verses deal with the account of what's known as the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, which is what we usually celebrate as Palm Sunday. And way back, I believe it was in April this year, we went through those verses and covered them then. So they're already done. And we're just going to skip right over that and get into chapter 20, which deals with Jesus being in the temple in Jerusalem in the last week of his earthly ministry. In our study this morning in Luke 19, we looked at the profit and loss of being involved in the ministry that God has given to each and every one of us of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the loss that's involved in there was what I will call a passive loss. It's a loss of reward. I mean, there's no real punishment per se. It's just a loss of getting something good. And the only punishment would come to those who we simply don't share the gospel with and go into eternity without Christ. Certainly they will be punished. There is good reason in what we studied this morning to be motivated to be about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, there still will be those who will say, well, look, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm not good at it. I'm too young for this. I'm too old for this. I'm not educated enough. I'm educated too much. Whatever reason you come up with, it doesn't become your responsibility to reach people with the gospel. And after all, if there's no real consequence to me, why should I bother? Well, it is true that at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no condemnation. There is only loss of rewards, a passive loss. But there is also an active loss, not in the time frame after the rapture of the church, but in the very here and now. And I want to forewarn you tonight and to encourage you that obedience to the commands of Christ is of utmost importance. This whole issue of reaching people with the gospel doesn't boil down to whether or not we choose to use our spiritual gifts, choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's an issue of obedience, pure and simple. It's an issue of whether we see Jesus Christ as being the sovereign God, the omnipotent God, and us as His servants, and therefore having responsibility to obey Him. Read along with me in Luke chapter 20, if you would, tonight. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as He taught in the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders and spake unto Him, saying, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Now, understand, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these different groups have been after Jesus for the full 3 years of His earthly ministry. They didn't like Him. They liked the miracles that He did. They appreciated that. But they saw Him as a threat to their ministry. Remember this morning as we were looking, thy talent hath gained. Well, they didn't see it as the thy talent. They saw it as their talents. It was their ministry in the temple. It was their ministry of teaching the people. It was their ministry of ruling the nation of Israel. And it wasn't God's business, at least to be actively involved. They were doing it for Him. And they saw Jesus as a threat to their continuance in ministry. And consequently, they were always after Him to discredit them and therefore justify themselves in their own actions. What they wanted to do is say, okay, who is it that's empowering you, giving you the right to do what you're doing? Now, they knew full well who it was. Jesus had made no bones about it, that he was a messenger sent by God himself, the Father. That the miracles that he had done were done in the power of God. Remember the confrontation where they said, you're doing these things by the power of Beelzebub. And the confrontation there where Christ clearly demonstrated that he was doing these things in the power of God. So here we have one more attempt at discrediting him. Jesus had clearly demonstrated who he was. There was no need to defend himself. But he turns the tables on these people and shows them up. Verse 3, he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say, well, from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. We got ourselves a predicament here. Whichever answer we give to them, we're going to lose out on these things. Because we were convinced that this John guy wasn't from God, so we took care of him, and we made no protest when Herod had him beheaded or anything along those lines. They were quite happy about those things. They didn't like it that the people went out to John. So we can't say that John was a messenger of God, and if we do say that, the people, they're going to get mad at us. You know, what are we going to do? Verse 7, and they answered and said, we could not tell whence it was. We don't know. Well, yes, they did know. They just didn't want to be obedient to what they knew to be true. Consequently, Jesus would not answer them. Verse 8, Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. I'm not going to hash this out anymore. I've demonstrated it through my works and through my teachings. I made it very clear and simple to everyone involved. You do not want to hear, and I'm not going to give you any more demonstration. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. The parable is directed against the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all these other groups. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to a husbandman and went into a far country for a long time. Like this morning, we have a nobleman who went away, while we have a husband or a certain man who has a vineyard. And he too is leaving the scene for a period of time, like the nobleman did this morning. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? Now here's the situation. Jesus is saying, okay, here's a man who has a plot of ground, vineyard, has trees, fruit trees growing on the thing. Maybe it's figs or olives or whatever the case may be. And he's going into a far country, so he hires a group of people to manage his field for him, to produce his crops, and consequently he is going to get gain out of this thing. And rather than recognizing that they were simply hired by this man, they said, no, we want this for ourselves. We want to do things the way we want to do them. We don't want to be told how to do things. We know what we're doing. We'll do it just fine by our own reasoning. And over the course of time, the owner of this vineyard sends someone to see what's going on, to get some fruit from what he rightfully owns, and they send him away empty. He sends a second person, they beat him up, and they send him away empty. He sends a third person, and they wounded him, cast him out, and I would assume he came out empty. He sends His own Son, obviously a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they kill Him. Basically, they say, okay, now this man has nobody left. It will be ours. Wait a minute. What about the owner? What should he do? Verse 16, he shall come and destroy those husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. Now, what Jesus is speaking of is the ministry had been entrusted to these scribes and priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and elders and everybody else, and they had not produced a crop for the rightful owner, so to speak. They were not producing fruits of righteousness. They were not reaching people with the gospel. The nation was going downhill. And Jesus came and said, look, I am come to collect on my fruit. And they said, we don't want you to reign over us. And they kill him. Do you think that can get by without consequence at all? Do you think God the Father would say, okay, you're doing a good job down there. You may not be bringing me much fruit. You may not be bringing me any fruit at all, but I see you're taking care of the weeds down there. You're making sure that there's no weeds growing up in the vineyard, and I see you keep the walks around the vineyards nice and neat. I saw you out there with the Black & Decker edger just the other day, and you made nice, neat edging along the sidewalk. And, oh, I saw those flowers that you planted around there. The place looks really pretty. That's okay. I won't do anything. I just won't give you a raise next year. I think maybe he wouldn't be just a little bit more angry than that. He said, I will come and I will take it away and give it to others. And when they heard it, they said, wait a minute. You're absolutely right to do that, but may it not be so. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. He goes back to an Old Testament prophecy that's found in Psalm 118, verse 22. And he makes reference to himself, that upon his death and burial and his resurrection, he is going to become the cornerstone of a new building. I think a reference to the church. And he will give the ministry to another. Well, who would that be? He's taking it away from the nation of Israel and giving it to the church. Now, understand something that I need to make very, very, very clear. It is assumed by some that all the promises that were given to the nation of Israel were forfeited by Israel's rejection of Christ. Not so. They were simply put aside for a time. God made promises to the nation of Israel. He will keep His promises. But their position as the husbandmen of this vineyard, Their position as entrusted to carry on the ministry of God has been taken away from them because of their unbelief. And Christ is now working through the church to reach the world. Having said that, can we be so arrogant to say, well, if I don't do it, what difference does it make? Verse 18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now understand, he is speaking to those who have been entrusted at this point in time. The ministry was not taken away from the scribes and the priests and so forth. It was coming very, very soon, but hadn't been taken away. He is speaking to those who have been given a ministry. In making application to you and I, that's our position today. When we fall upon that stone, and understand this is a massive stone, picture yourself falling and upon this huge stone. It's not going to give. It's going to hurt. And it always hurts, at least the pride, if not more, when we say, you know what? I'm not in charge. I'm just a servant. Well, we like to feel big. As someone once said, man is the most curious of God's creation. You pat him on the back and his head swells. We like that bigness. We like the honor, the prestige of position. But in the ministry of God, we are nothing but servants. And it hurts the ego. But what's worse, that or whomsoever it falls upon. Now picture a huge stone falling out of the sky and landing directly on top of you. It will grind him to powder. It gives a whole new meaning of the phrase dust to dust, because that's exactly what's going to happen here. There's nothing at all left. Here's a person who falls upon the stone and his pride is injured, but he gets up and he recognizes his position and he goes on in ministry. Here's a person whom the stone falls upon and he becomes powder. There's no getting up from that. You and I have been given a mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dare we say that it's optional without consequence? Oh, but you said to Pastor this morning that there's no condemnation. Yes, but that's in the judgment seat of Christ. We didn't get there yet. In time, there's judgment. May we not be those people who are ground to powder. May we be faithful in accomplishing that which has been given to us. Let's pray. Father, tonight, warn us and encourage us. Remind us, Father, that everything that's necessary for the ministry that you've given to us has been provided for us. The issue is not how many people we reach. The issue is how faithful we are with the time that you've given us to reach people. Lord, may we never be so callous as to think it doesn't matter. Lord, may we be found faithful in doing all that you require of us. First and foremost, for your honor and glory. Second, for the welfare of those that we minister to. And then thirdly, that we might enjoy the rewards of obedience. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a good week.